Okay. Well, my wife and I, we took a plaque off our wall that was on top of our car, was supposed to go in our car, and it flew off probably into the street. So the plaque said, and I'm only saying this because our very first song actually mentioned a word there that sometimes people get a little bit funny about, but it said, you can lead a fool to wisdom, but you can't make him think. Did you hear what I said? That, I think, is a fantastic statement. My wife had it hanging at work when she was in England, and it came back with us to the States. It was hanging in my office, and I think it's on the road somewhere. I wanted to hold it up here for you guys to see it. You can lead a fool to wisdom, but you can't make him think. The biggest problem, and I'm speaking about the Christian community, is oftentimes we really don't think. We don't think things through. We don't really think on our own two feet. We don't think about things. We just kind of go through the motions. We're like, I don't know, it's kind of like robots. Just, okay, we just sing our songs. We know they're going to be over in just a few minutes. Okay, then the offering, we know that's coming. And then there's going to be the preaching. It's always in this order. After the preaching, there's going to be a little bit of closing things. There's going to be a final song. Then there's the benediction. And oh boy, we get to go home. But I'm of another mindset. I'm different. I'm just wanting you guys to know. I've never been created that way. Number one, I'm of the personality that I try to find fun in everything I do. Jonathan was helping me to pour some little bits of concrete by this ready-mix concrete bags. And in so doing, we finished a huge big area together. But every day for me doing that was fun. I enjoyed it. It was hard work. We're in the hot sun. And here I am. I don't know if it was that much fun for Jonathan, but I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed getting my hands in there. My wife and I were talking on the back porch one day, and we were like saying, the sun on the west side. We're on the west side. How about the sun on the west, right? It's just blaring in there from about 2 o'clock onward until that sunset in midsummer around, 7:30, before we got any kind of shade. And she said, I think it would be nice to screen in this porch. And I said to her, I said, well, I can't go and afford to buy those big kits that they sell at these big box stores, but I can do it the old school way with 2x4s and screen, and we can staple it in there, and I can do all that. I know I can do that. I know how to do that. So I got a hold of Jonathan another time, and we began to build this thing together. And he said, you know how to do it. I said, no, not really. I've never done this before, but I said, we're going to learn as we go. It'll be fun. He said, oh, okay, fun. And so we began to build a screened-in porch. And this morning before we got here, we were sitting on our back porch about 8 o'clock this morning, just enjoying that side of the house, watching the hummingbirds, by the way. We have three hummingbirds. I found out that hummingbirds are very territorial. They don't like other hummingbirds in their territory. So all they do, until it gets really hot, and then they come back later this evening, is fight with each other. But it's kind of not like fighting big time, but just like chasing each other off. And then we put up a little wire right in front of us that's on the fascia board in right in front. And this one little guy, he's got a little bit of red down here. We found out that's a male, and they're called Anna hummingbirds, by the way. But this one lands on this little piece of wire that we put out there, and he just goes through this whole motion of squealing away and singing. I guess it's called singing, but making all these hummingbird sounds. And then if the other hummingbird comes flying toward the feeder, which is a few feet away, he goes, and he goes after that one, and he goes up, and he looks for him, he goes this way and that way. In the meantime, a third hummingbird comes in, and he's after that one. It goes on all the time. I'm thinking, is this fun to you guys? Is this what you do? But I guess it is. That's the way that God made it. But anyway, what I'm saying is that we made this porch, and we screened it in, and I stapled it all together. I knew how to finish it, and it looks great. Did I know how to do it? Not really. I knew the basics of it, but it's fun for me. It's fun to get my hands into something and doing something. I just can't sit. Transfer that into the Christian community.
you're looking at a guy that hates to sit. I don't like sitting. I don't like just, okay, just go through the ritual, the motions. I come here to enjoy, to worship the Lord. Is anybody with me on that one? At least say amen to yourself. And just happy to be able to say to Jesus, I worship you today. I praise you. I extol your name. I do whatever it takes within my strength. And there's one part of this church I don't yet understand, and I don't know how we're going to get there, but you're all so quiet. Everything is so quiet. And it reminds me, when I was a Catholic, younger guy, growing up, in a Catholic church, you are not allowed to talk. You can talk here, but you're not allowed to talk. You can't make any noise. When I yawned as a little boy, about 8, 9, 10 years old, which was a lot in a Catholic church, my mother would pop me in the mouth as my mouth was wide open, and boom! And I knew, okay, yawning is not going to work. Now, I am not critical of the Catholic church. I'm giving my own personal testimony that for my personality, it didn't fit me. I had to sit there as an 8 or 9 year old kid, and I couldn't move, I couldn't talk, I couldn't do anything, I couldn't yawn. I learned that one. So it didn't fit me. But when I came into, here I go again testifying, but when I came into, see, you got to know where I came from. Remember last week I shared my testimony up to a certain point? Well, this is the other part of my testimony, so I guess I'll share it this week. For those of you who weren't here, it's on recording, if it's of any value to anybody. But I began to look for a church. And so this guy, a friend of mine, his name was Big Jim. He was right there with me all the way. He said, I know a small church you could go to. I said, okay, I'm for it. So we went to this little church about this many people on a Sunday night. And the first thing that I recognized in there, because I was a redneck through and through, was every hymn that they sang was right out of my playbook for me. Right out of stuff I was listening to. And I mean, this is Southern Gospel. This is, you're clapping your hands. You're tapping your foot. I mean, that's the kind of music we had. And I said, this church is for me. I knew nothing of its doctrine. I just figured it's a church. Everybody has good doctrine. Everybody's okay. And I noticed on the sign outside, it said the word headquarters in Cleveland, Tennessee. But that didn't register in my head because I never heard of Cleveland, Tennessee before. So when I got home that night, I told my mom, I said, they have a church in Cleveland, Ohio, and another one somewhere in Tennessee. She said, they do. I said, yeah, they have two churches outside of this one. And it was headquartered in Cleveland, Tennessee, which I learned later, and that's another story. But that was the church. They were alive, and I loved the preaching. And I went there. We were in the revival, you can ask Julie, for 2 years. We were in this movement of the Holy Spirit. We came expecting. Every Sunday night, we come to church. What's going to happen tonight? Who's going to get saved? Who's going to be blessed to the Lord? Who's going to get filled with the Holy Spirit? Who's going to be moved with God? Who's going to be touched? Who's going to be anointed? It was ongoing. And so that's the mold that I came into. And that's me. I mean, I'm not putting this down right here, but it's hard to adjust to somewhere where everybody is so quiet, you know? And everybody says, oh, we're going to sing. All these were great songs, but this is a time to worship. I don't know what your hands are doing, but boy, they're meant for more than just hanging by your side. You got a 10-string instrument. We can clap our hands once in a while. We can do something. Please, let loose a little bit. Enjoy. And get into the flow of the Spirit. You will be so blessed if you do. And it'll be good. And you will feel better after the service. So there's the songs today. Yes, you are my all in all. That is a song we can shout about. You are my all in all. Talking about Jesus. God, I look to you. Next song. Who do we look to? Jesus. God, I look to you. The next one, the Word. Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right? Another great song. And then the cornerstone. Who is our cornerstone? Do you see what I'm saying today? All these things are things that you can get happy about. You can be excited about. And you won't have to look to the world to get you happy or excited about anything. Right? So, you know, all I'm trying to say is, this is the way it goes. God is going to really bless and anoint everything we're doing. So I just want you guys to hear that today. Get a hold of that and know that's my background. I just want to make sure that was recording. All right, I'm going to read our scripture today. I'm going to do it out of the bulletin because I'm only going to read one verse. And then I'm going to talk about
just that one lonesome verse. I got my phone today. My printer decided it wasn't going to work anymore. Blessed, are you with me now? Look in your bulletin. I want you here with me. Blessed is the man who walks, underscore the word walks. Okay, I better demonstrate, just in case you missed it. Who walks, okay, that's what he's doing. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands, okay, that's the next one. Think of it now, we're going somewhere. From walking to what's the next one?
Standing.
Now the next one may surprise you. What happens next? Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits. Once again, I want to demonstrate, very important here. All right. Preachers don't sit very often, at least in my world. Oh, wow, that feels good. I might sit here a while. Who sits in the seat of the scornful. I think that's how it reads off our bulletin. That's what it says in the King James Version. Ooh, the King James. He was something else, wasn't he? So what was the first one? What's happening in number one?
Walking.
We have a regression to standing, to sitting. Let's spend some time right there with that particular thought. When he says this, David is coming from the negative to the positive. Blessed is the man who does not do these things, okay? He does not walk with, what does it say there, with the ungodly? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking means motion, no doubt about it. You're going somewhere. You're moving. There's something happening in your life where you're going from point A to point B. We do it all day long. Those of you who get ready to go to work every morning, you've got a goal set. This morning, I'm going to be getting ready. I'm going to take a shower, whatever. I'm going to clean up. I'm going to get dressed. And my point A is to get in my car, and to get to point B, my job. That's where you're going. That's the goal. Movement is what we're talking about. Always movement. So when it mentions the word walk, do not take that literally. You cannot take it like, oh, I'm just strolling along. Because we walk amongst the unbelievers all day long. So he can't be talking about that. We rub shoulders. We can't live like a monk in the desert and all by ourselves. We've got to understand Jesus placed us in this world for a purpose and a reason. So when he says, who walks not on the counsel of the ungodly, that's following a certain path, a certain way, a certain direction. And it can take you down. And the next thing that happens is that pretty soon you're standing. You're no longer walking. You've all of a sudden taken in what's going on all around you. And you've kind of halted and say, hey, I'm just going to hang out here a while. This is really kind of neat. I've heard people say that to me. They said things like this. After living for the Lord all these years, right? They long for the day that they can just basically, what do you say, let their hair down and become a full-fledged sinner for just a short time before they die so they can enjoy this world's things all around them. I've heard people tell me this, that when they get old, like about whatever, I don't even know what old was to these people, but they're just all of a sudden just going to lay aside all this really hard work of living for the Lord and all this dealing with holiness and right living and all that, and they're just going to go back to sinning for a while and then come back to the Lord because I guess that's the idea. No, there's nothing. Nothing there you want. Sin will lead you deeper and farther than you ever intended to go. Ask anybody hooked on drugs today. Look at these guys on the street. My wife and I go by them all the time. I keep trying to help some of them. Remember those packets we handed out, you know, with all that stuff in it? The first two people that I went to try to hand them that thing, two people said, I don't want that. And I was getting a little bit kind of angry. And I said, well, yeah, if I throw it in the trash, you'll be digging through it and thought you found the gold mine. But you don't want it right now in front of me. So I went to this guy and he looked at it and said, no, I don't want that. I said, it's free. I don't want it. I said, well, what do you want? And he didn't want to talk about it. I figured he probably wanted money. He didn't want, you know, shampoo and toothpaste and whatever else was in there, body odor, deodorant, and that kind of thing. Ah, here you go. Hands it back to me. So the other guy, I've got three of these things. So the other guy, I see him in this big cart. He's got stuff loaded up in this cart like going over the top. And he's on a dirt road behind a Circle K. And I see him, you know, clunking up there. So I went over to him and I said, excuse me, I have something for you that we're giving away. He said, what is it? And I said, well, it's this here. And you know what he said to me? It's really offensive, actually. He said, no, I don't like you. I didn't say to him, I don't like you either, because that's what came to my mind. But I said, what? I don't like you. I don't know what he said, like rude. And I said, this is free. He said, I don't want it, and I don't like you. And I said, okay. So I thought, all right, here we go. So I was able eventually to hand out two of those. I had one left. Basically, I was just begging the people to take them. I said, here you go. And they're like, what is it? It's something free. Just go ahead and take it. You can throw it away if you don't want it. Just take it. You know. Well, I found this guy. I thought this was a kind of an interesting one. He was right up near my house looking for a ride onto the freeway. And he was, you're going to laugh. He was like, not in some shorts. He almost looked like boxer shorts. And I looked at him and said, wow, this is weird. And he was barefooted. And it was like 105 degrees that day. And I said, what are you doing out here? He says, oh, man, last night someone stole all my clothes. And I said, and your shoes too? And he said, yeah, look at my feet, they're killing me. And I said, well, I can't help you with that right now, but here's this. And he was so happy to get it, so thankful. And then I said, if you'll hang in there for a minute, I might be able to get you some kind of shoes. And I went home, and I was going to run up to a store. It was a dollar store. I was going to buy him some kind of flip-flops or something. But by then, they were gone. He and his girlfriend were gone. But that felt like, okay, I really felt the Lord open that door. I said, that felt good. Now, here's my point. I'm going off track. There's movement. And that guy ended up out on a street corner hitchhiking a ride, he and his girlfriend, trying to go somewhere in that lifestyle. And I'm telling you something. He never intended for that to ever happen in his life. He didn't set out saying, the goal in my life is to be standing on a street corner, hitchhiking a ride in my boxer shorts and barefooted. Yay! What an idea. No. No chance in this world. He never set that way. So I'm telling you that sin will take you farther than you ever planned to go. Amen. That will take you down a road you don't want to be on. It will get you deeper. It will get you in more trouble. It will put you in something that you're not intending to do. And that's what this writer is trying to say. Walking, standing, sitting. I know each one has a different meaning to it. But if you listen to that, you get an understanding that there's movement. There will always be movement. You're never going to be stationary. When I was in college and I was in communications class, my teacher said something that I want you guys to think about here and just give it some thought. She said, there is never a time when you are not communicating. And I heard that and I said, oh, yes, there is. Right? And so naturally, someone in the class said, well, how about when you're sleeping? She said, you're communicating that you're sleeping. And I don't know anybody that sleeps. Maybe some do, like totally still all night. How many of you move around and adjust your pillow, right? You do, right? Yes, yes. Okay, we do. I do. Sometimes my wife will get so mad at me because I steal all of her covers when I turn over. She says, I want those covers back. And I feel this whoosh. And then I think, okay, well, there it's the covers. And then it's my knee hitting her or something else, you know. She's always like saying something. But I never stand still. I am not a still person. My mom and dad said when I was a baby, in the crib, that I would literally shake that crib apart, just moving it back and forth. Something is always moving in my body. There's always something. I count to myself constantly. I know that sounds weird, but just like my wife will say, what are you doing? And I said, I like thinking about something, and I'm like, I'm going to do this first, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that.
that. And she says, well, who are you talking to? I said, well, it's in my head, you know, but I'm always moving. My foot's moving. She says, are you ever still? I said, no, I'm never still. I'm always moving something. So I understand that word and communication. You're communicating, you're sleeping, but you're still moving around. So that doesn't work. I don't know if you've ever tried to be super still in your life, not move anything. I am not going to move at all. I used to have a stare-out contest with my daughters when they were younger. First one to laugh, you know. And I would make these funny faces and they would lose. I would come to the kitchen table as a kid because they knew me as a talker and a mover and a shaker. That's who I was. And I would say, I am not going to move at all during the whole supper. Did I ever do that with you, Anna? When you were younger, I don't know if I did it. But I would say, I'm not going to move at all. I am going to be totally still at the table. And they would all laugh at me because they knew that lasts about 10 seconds. But that's what's happening with people are always moving. There's no time when you're not communicating something to somebody. There's movement. And this movement is a regression. This movement is backwards. Well, let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Is that a phone ringing back there? That's all right. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I want to show you guys now the reverse of this. I want to end on a positive note for you today. Isn't that good? We got the negative stuff. We already did all the negative. You don't want to be a sinner. You don't want to walk with sinners. You don't want to stand with those. You don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. None of that stuff we want to do. We want to do something else. Okay? And so I want you, if someone is in Isaiah, I know that Phil's voice is probably still rough, so I'm not going to ask him, but somebody else today could read Isaiah chapter 4, 40 verse, I think it's 31. I got it marked off in my Bible, but let's see here. Yes, verse 31. Does somebody have that verse? Julie has it.
But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Here we go. Now I'm going to share with you a saying. I didn't know this till this morning. I looked it up, but I got it on my phone. But I'm going to share with you in a moment. But the first one is, it kind of like the Lord has high expectations for you. He doesn't look at you and say, all I think you're ever going to accomplish is just barely walking with the Lord. But God starts at the highest. It's our highest for His highest. He's starting you at the top. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, either you're riding on the wing, I know they said on the wings, or you're flying next to the Lord. It doesn't matter to me. But you're soaring, you're flying, you're moving somewhere way up there in the stratosphere. Let's just say that. You're really on top of things. You are moving with the Lord. Nothing in your life is like a hindrance. You're really with. And I appreciate the Lord looking upon our lives in that way. My wife said to me one day, she said, you're a diamond in the rough. And I knew what she meant by that. And I said, I don't look at myself that way. And I felt that was prideful to kind of think that way. But when the Lord looks upon us, He doesn't see you as you are right now. He sees you what you're going to become. He knows if you put yourself in this and apply yourself and work at it and get together in it and get your mind made up, that you're going to be able to soar with the eagles. Soaring. Way above there. And the way that I understand it, and this goes for birds that migrate also. They catch the trade winds. They catch some kind of winds way up. I shouldn't say trade winds, but winds. And they soar. They don't move their wings. Anna, I think you were sharing the head bird and now the way that they fly at an angle. It all has something, if you ever study this kind of thing. It's all meant so they don't have to keep flapping their wings. I mean, that wouldn't even last about, how long could that last? They've got to be able to soar. What are you working so hard for? Why do you keep working at your faith? Why do you keep striving for stuff? Why don't you just soar with the Lord once in a while? Just get up with Him. You know, one time I was thinking about the Lord and I'm driving down the street. Those are always my best times when I'm driving. I'm thinking about God. I'm not a radio guy that much, so I've not really got the radio on. I'm just thinking about the Lord. And I said, okay, the Lord Jesus is in the driver's seat. I can see that. I can see Him. He's in the driver's seat. And I'm on the passenger side. I see that. That's good. I got that. Okay. Then my next thought was,
what happens when I'm the driver and Jesus is the passenger? I'm sort of guiding the way we're supposed to go, but I'm still trusting the Lord. Should I turn here, Lord? No, don't turn there. Should I keep going straight? Yeah, keep going straight. And is that a good speed, Lord? That's a good speed. But the next thought I had, see, my mind does this. The next thought I had was, well, I don't need the Lord anymore. I got this thing down pat. I've got this whole thing figured out. I know how to do all this. So now, I'll just let the Lord get out of the car, and I'll drive my own car, and we'll be happy. If I need him, I'll call on him, and he can hop back in and give me direction. He's got to be in the driver's seat. All right? So that is the idea about soaring with God. Let me read you this very quickly here. A very short thing, but I love it. This is a saying. If you want to soar with eagles, don't hang out with turkeys. Isn't that good? In fact, the Lord one time said, why are you clucking around with the chickens when you're supposed to be soaring with the eagles? I had no idea there was a saying. I should have made that a saying. I would have made a lot of money, Kenji. Amen. I would not be wearing the same suit every week. I'd be soaring with the eagles. But see, soaring with the eagles. What are we hanging around with a bunch of chickens for? Now, I heard a story once, and I don't know if it's true, so I'm going to tell you. I hear a lot of stories by a lot of preachers, but I've learned over the years, take everything they say with a grain of salt. No offense to them. One evangelist one day was testifying to a church, and he said, I went to preach at this church. I mean, they always do it, this emotional thing, you know. He said, I went to preach at this church in Denver, Colorado. And everybody's like, oh, boy. And it was packed out. There were standing room only. Well, sounds great, doesn't it? What do you picture when it's like that? Thousands of people. Well, come to find out, the church only held about 40 people. I said, what? Packed out. There would be 50 people there. That's packed out to you? I was so disappointed. Another guy said, every time I get on an airplane, I'm always witnessing to somebody. But the way that he said it was like, the guy next to me didn't know the Lord. And I said to him, do you know Jesus? I said, it wasn't like that at all. If it was like that, you'd be scaring that guy right out where he's sitting. He'd be running from you. And it was more like, hey, you know what? I'm a Christian. You know, I want truth. Don't you want truth? So I heard a story. I don't know if it's true, but it's a good story. I like it. That once upon a time, I'll start there, that there was a baby eaglet. That's what they call the little baby eagles. A little eaglet. And he had fallen out of his mother's nest above. And he landed in an area where there were chickens that this guy was raising. And so this little eaglet grows up with the chickens. Now, how far do chickens fly? Anybody want to shout that out? How far do they really fly? What?
20 feet.
20 feet. And if they're lucky and can do it, they'll land on top of a fence. And they make all this noise and this racket and there's feathers flying everywhere. It's like this huge ordeal just to go about 20 feet and land on top of a fence. And then, you know, their life is mostly on the ground just plucking around for food, right? And that's all they do all day long. So this little eaglet grows up with the chickens and that's who he has. Now, some of this may be true because I have heard stories told where there's these little, what do they call baby ducks? Ducklings?
Ducklings,
of course. That were raised by a guy who fed them and took care of them, and they followed him wherever he went. And there was about like six of them just going along the path with him. So I guess this could be a true story, okay? But anyway, so this little eaglet gets raised with the chickens. And he learns the ways of the chickens, but he doesn't learn the ways of an eagle. And as the story goes, apparently, this guy began to train this one and began to show this little guy what an eagle does. How do eagles act? What's an eagle all about? And these are things that you've got to learn, and apparently you don't have this on a natural basis. And began to take him to the place where the little eaglet, could actually learn to fly. Okay, now, again, I don't know that story to be true, but it's a good story. And I do, in a sense, believe it, because there's many, many stories like that, where of dogs and cats learning what their owners do, but not learning what other dogs do, because they've never been socialized with other dogs. So, they that wait upon the Lord, our preacher said this a few weeks ago, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. So there you go, flying. So mark that one down in your notes, your mental notes. Flying. That's a whole lot different than sitting. The next one he says, and they shall run and not be weary. This is the progression. I gave you the first walk, stand, sit, regression. This is progression, moving forward and upward and higher. So let's talk about walking for just a little bit, or running, I'm sorry. I got some verses on running. I want you to hear some of these great verses. So let me go here where I have these. I have a lot of them today. Listen to this one. And you know these scriptures. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Paul says to us, run. He didn't say walk. He didn't say take it easy, but run in such a way as you will get the prize. Meaning this, you guys, we're all in the race together. We're all going to get a prize. That's not how it works in the Olympics. Only first place gets the gold, right? And then there's second and third, and so forth. So we are in it together. Paul says, run as though you are going to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games, look at that, he's referring to those early Olympic games, goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, just running for whatever, like Forrest Gump. You're just running. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air, he says. No, I strike a blow to my body. You have to get to understanding here. It might be taken out of context if you don't understand it. I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In other words, what's happening here, very important, is that when you get yourself disciplined, that's the biggest problem in Christianity, because we are free. We can do whatever we want to. There's nobody really watching over us. We're in this without somebody saying, hey, listen, straighten up. And if we do that, it's almost like, ooh, you're going to be offended. But let's run. Let's understand that Paul said, I beat my body into subjection. He didn't mean he beat himself up and slapped himself around. He means that he disciplined himself. He got himself in this place for saying, I'm going to run this race. He said, I'm going to do it lest I also might be disqualified. So he was really concerned that during the process of time, he too might be in a place where he doesn't really have what he was supposed to have. So he says, I run this race, okay? That's one verse. And there were several more with that one. They were found in Jeremiah. They're all over the place. I got we mentioned the one there in Isaiah. Here's one in Galatians chapter 5. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? You are already running. You are already doing. You are already moving. You are already overcoming. What stopped you? What made you quit? What made you turn around? There's the word running. And then I'm going to finalize my message today. He says, and they shall walk and not be weary. It's kind of the opposite of the other, isn't it? Where I started with the word walk. But let's begin there for this one, the progression. Walk, run, fly. Walk, I'm walking with the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord, I'm walking with Jesus. You know, my idea of driving kind of goes with that. It's moving along and cool and everything's cool. And the Lord whispers over me, Tom, yeah, Lord, you want to go a little deeper? What does that mean? You have to work a little bit. Be more disciplined. Okay, you have to run. I don't like running, Lord. You have to learn how to run. Okay, I'll lead you. Now, honestly, you guys, in this body where I'm at, my running is not in my vocabulary. There's no way. I saw those kids running, and I even said to Chelsea this morning, I said, what if we as adults were just running all over like those kids? Just running everywhere. Hiding behind the chairs, running under the chair, or crawling and playing. We're not going to, right? And I don't think I have ran for so long. I don't know what my body would do if I started running. But in the spiritual sense, I want to run with Jesus. Now you're running. You're like, that's a whole Forrest Gump thing. Why are you running? I don't know. I'm just really disappointed that my girlfriend, whatever, broke up with me or died or whatever happened. Yeah, I'm just running, running, running. Then the Lord next to you says, hey, Tom, yeah. You want to go a little more? Yeah, I do. What do I got to do? He said, I'm going to teach you how to fly.
I said, flying. My wife dreams of flying. You know, so I'm running along. So I'm going to teach you how to fly. I said, okay, what does that mean? He says, well, you're going to have to develop some kind of wings on your body. He said, yeah, all you have to do is put your arms out. Okay, put my arms out. This is not making any sense, Lord, but I'm trying to do it. He said, now move your arms a little bit. Okay, and taking off at the Lord. I don't know what it would be like a bird. I mean, well, wouldn't that be something? My wife dreams of flying all the time. I don't know if she likes soaring. I don't know. And the Lord says, you want to go a little higher? Yeah, let me go a little higher. Well, there's more responsibility. More of the world is behind you. Okay, I'll do that. Fine. All right, come on, let's go, Tom. Let's go a little higher. All right, a little higher. All right, come on now. Oh, Tom, now we're catching something up there. What is that? I feel the Holy Spirit up here. Do you feel the wind of the Holy Spirit in your back? I do, Lord. Put your sail out, Tom. Let the wind carry you wherever He wants you to go. I feel it now, Lord. I'm feeling pretty good about this. Okay, I'm still with you, Tom. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to drop you. And I'm just kind of going with the Lord. My wings aren't moving. They're just soaring. And the Lord says, isn't this where you want to be? I said, yes, this is where I want to be. And I want to soar up here. I want to learn what it means to soar. He said, I'll teach you what it means to soar and still live on the earth. I'll teach you what it means to live above the problems of your life but still live in the world and down below. I'm going to teach you how to be an overcomer, but you still live down here. I'm going to teach you how to not sin, but you still live down here. And that's the idea. You hear where I'm going with this. You're going for the walk, to the run, to the soar. And when you get there,
and I'm telling you, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen over time. Some of you are barely walking with the Lord. Some of you are running with God today. Some of you want to be soaring, but you don't even know what that means. Here's three things you're going to have to do, and this is going to be the amen of my sermon. The first thing, it's all so simple. You've got to get discipline on reading the Bible. Forget the excuse. The number one excuse, I didn't have time. Number two, you better figure out what prayer is really all about. It's in the Bible. But if you want some teaching on it, you can go online and get some great stuff. Number two, you've got to learn how to pray. Number three, you've got to settle it in your spirit once and for all what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to you? I know what it means to me, but I tell you, get a hold of what that really means. What does that mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? When Paul came upon the Ephesian church, he says, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believed? That is the craziest question to ask believers. That is totally just off the mark. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And he didn't know who he was talking to, but he says to them, that is not what you say to unbelievers. That is not even what you say to believers. I don't get the question unless you understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they go, what are you talking about? We don't know about any Holy Spirit. Paul says, well, wait a second now. He's determining about these people. He said, by then, what were you baptized? Oh, we were baptized into John's baptism. Oh, well, okay. That's half of the story. You've got to get baptized in the name of Jesus. His teaching, his doctrine, his teach a doctrine about that. Okay, let's do it. I'm ready. These guys are ready to go. And then Paul does something really weird. And I'm telling you, you've got to come down to a grip. I'm not preaching to you anywhere to believe or not believe, but this is what happened next. Paul lays his hands upon them, and they receive the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in tongues and prophesy. So that's what happens next in the way that these men in Ephesus received it. But the question has to be dealt with. You just can't ignore it. Say, well, my teaching is this. I've never heard of that before. My pastor says this. No, you find out what it says. That's your job. Everybody depends on the pastor to give them the word every Sunday, and they never really take time out to what the Bible really says. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Weird question. I come up to people and I want to know if they're believers or not. I want to find out if they're saved. I don't ever ask them that question. I've never asked them that question. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they would say, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I would have to do a huge Bible study and try to get through a bunch of doctrine to get down to what Paul was doing at the time. All right, I'm all done. Listen, you guys, which way do you want to go? It's your choice. Do you want to grow in the Lord? If you do, you're going to soar. You're going to be amazing. Amazing grace. You're going to be one of those. Wow, I love Jesus. Or are you going to follow the way of the sinner? Yeah, let's walk with you, sinners. Okay, now you're standing, looking around, okay. And pretty soon you're sitting with all that garbage. So, we have the choice. Let's make up our mind. God bless you.